He needed someone tender enough to cherish the thrill of a baby growing within her body, and yet someone strong enough to survive the pain of childbirth. So God made a mother. He needed someone to take care of that precious baby throughout the night and still take care of her home and the rest of her family throughout the day on very minimal sleep. So God made a mother. He needed someone hard enough to say no to her children when she needed to, and soft enough to break the rules at times and treat her kids to what they want. So God made a mother. He needed someone who could be in two places at one time and with eyes in the back of their head. So God made a mother. He needed someone stern enough to paddle a little behind when it was called for, and yet someone tender enough to heal a skinned leg with a Band-Aid and a hug and a kiss. So God made a mother. He needed someone with callous knees, callous from the hours spent there in prayer for her family. So God made a mother. He needed a theologian to share the gospel, a psychologist to deal with teens, an entomologist for those insect collections, a botanist for those leaf collections, a professor for those late night homework sessions, and a physician to always know what's wrong. So God made a mother. He knew he needed someone to watch over us as we made our way through this life. So God made a mother. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for women, what you have created in them, what you have instilled in them, the nurture that you have built in them, the gift that you have given them. We just thank you for just moms and mothers and women in the world that can touch lives, that can change lives, that can heal the brokenhearted. We just pray as we open up scripture and learn about mothers that you will encourage us and that you will bless us. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen. So today we're going to talk about mothers. And I took the word mother and did an acronym out of it. But whether you're a mother or not, or whether you're a father, or whether you're a friend, a sibling, whatever it is, you can still learn from this. There's a lot of people that need encouraging. There's a lot of people that need somebody to lift them up, that need encouragement, that need... So we all fit this criteria, whether you're a mother or not. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, where we start, it says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." And some versions in verse 7 use the word mother, "even as a mother cherishes her children." And the first word I came up with here was modesty for mothers. And there's a lot of different definitions for that word modest, but there's a couple we're going to look at. And the first one is having or showing a moderate or humble estimate of one's merits, importance, etc., free from vanity, egotism, boastfulness, or great pretensions. I would say even though mothers are the most important person in that household, my wife will tell you she is. I'm just kidding. She is very free from vanity, egotism, and no matter what, she is always putting everyone else ahead of herself. Whatever's happening in the house, she is always putting the kids ahead of her. She's putting the husband ahead of him. She's free from egotism. She's free from vanity. She rarely, if ever, allows her supermom cape to show or to be seen. Mom always puts her kids first. She isn't concerned about herself. And I see that in all moms. I see that in all women. I see that they have a nurture. They have a care for people. They have a care for the world. They are willing to always put somebody else first. The other definition of modest is having or showing regard the decency of behavior, speech, and dress. A godly mother is modest in her behavior. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Becoming a mother or growing up or maturing, you put away childish things. That doesn't mean you can't have fun anymore. That doesn't mean things don't change. Life changes. But as a mother, you turn into a person to raise these children to be godly kids, to be godly parents, to become godly people. Look over to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. When women grow up, when women get wiser, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teacher of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. It's what they're called to do. It's called to be modest. It's called to train their children, to train their husband, to encourage, to build up. And many times in society, without the Word of God, without things that are pulling us to a conviction of right and wrong, we can see mothers make bad decisions. Sonny loves murder shows, so we watch them all the time, which is not a big deal, but watched one the other night that a mother convinced a 17-year-old boy to murder his grandfather. And you just are shocked that they can do this and instill this into their kid. But because without the Word of God and without the encouragement of that mother and without, you know, they're going to follow that mother's choices. So that woman, we have to be modest. We have to be modesty. So number one, it starts with modesty. Second letter is O, and I went through a lot of different words, but I came up with observant. The definition of observant is quick to notice or perceive, alert. Women and mothers and people are very observant. When it comes to men, we are not. My wife can dye her hair, she can cut her hair, she can buy new clothes, and she's like, hey, how do I look? You look great. You look like you did yesterday. That's the wrong answer. Women are very observant, and they need to be to protect their kids. A godly mother needs to be observant. The Bible tells us to be self-controlled and alert. It talks about the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Moms have to be observant to everything happening around her family. She needs to observe everything she can about who her kids' friends are, where her kids go, what they are watching, what they're listening to. They care about you and have your best interests at heart. Best definition I've ever heard about becoming a parent or becoming a mom is this. It's the conscious decision to allow your heart to go walking around outside your body. Even after we grow up, even after we grow old, my mom is still checking on me, making sure I'm doing the right things. And at 38 years old, wait, I'm 39 now. 39 years old, don't know how old I am. My mom is still checking on me because she cares and she worries. That heart is outside that chest and walking around the world. Godly mothers must be observant. You can see in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Mothers know who they are. Mothers have an intuition. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mothers and women have intuition. My wife will always tap me and say, hey, don't trust that person. Most of the time, I have still not learned to listen. But mothers and women have intuition. They can feel it. They know it. They know when something's wrong. They know when they want to protect their kids. They know. It's an intuition that God has given them. It's something that God did not give to men. But I truly believe He gave that to women that are willing to nurture and support and encourage their children. Mothers have a knack for people they trust. Mothers have a knack and an intuition for knowing who to trust and who not to trust. Women and mothers are very observant. T comes with thankful. A godly mother is always thankful. There's a prayer that says, "Dear Lord," this is a mother's prayer, "Dear Lord, thank you for this sink of dirty dishes. We have plenty of food to eat. Thank you for this pile of dirty, stinky laundry. We have plenty of nice clothes to wear. I'd like to thank you, Lord, for those unmade beds. They were so warm and comfortable last night. I know that many have no bed. My thanks to you, Lord, for this bathroom, complete with all the splattered mess, soggy, grimy towels, and the dirty lavatory. They are all so convenient. Thank you for this finger smudge refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. It has served us faithfully for so many years. It is full of cold drinks and enough leftovers for two or three meals. Thank you, Lord, for this oven that absolutely must be clean today. It has baked so many things over the year. The whole family is grateful for that tall grass that needs mowing and lawn that needs raking. We all enjoy the yard. Thank you, Lord, even for that slamming screen door. My kids are healthy and able to run and play. Many children cannot." Godly mothers are always thankful for what they have. They're thankful for whatever happened throughout the day. They're thankful for what's going on in their life. The Word of God talks about that. There's so many passages of being thankful. You can see 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We always want to find the will of God for our life, or what is it, what's right, what are we supposed to do? It tells you right here, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." We are called to have a grateful heart. We're called to be thankful. And the more thankful you are, the more happy you are. The more happy you are, the more joy that comes. The more joy that comes, the more peace that comes. We have to be a thankful people. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says the same thing. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If you struggle with being thankful, start writing down 3 things every morning. It'll start growing. It'll become 10. It'll become 20. You can write for days. There are so many things, especially here in America, that we can be thankful for. There's so many things just out of the Word of God that we can be thankful for, that we can go forever. The next letter to mother is H, and I put honorable. A godly mother is to be honorable. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Marriage is honorable in all. And this is not just towards moms. This is not just towards women. This is not towards... It says marriage should be honored by all. And we live in an age of disposable marriages. We say, "Hey, we'll try it if it works. Or let's move in together. We'll see if it works. If we like each other. If we don't, let's give it a try." Marriage is not a try. Marriage is not when I feel like it. Everybody thinks love is a feeling, and it can be, but love is a commitment. Marriage is a commitment. When you say, for better or worse, it is what it is. I mean, we've ruined marriage all around with same-sex marriage and everything as well, but Even men and women are lucky if they stay together for 10 years today. This has to do with both men and women. But marriage needs to be honored by all. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Marriage needs to be honored by all. Marriage needs to be respected, vows taken seriously. It needs to be a serious thing. The next letter I used for E is encouraging. I see this all the time. Sonny will encourage the kids. She will lift them up. She will support them. I'm probably more the one beating them down. She has to pick them back up. Your dad didn't really mean that. Mothers and women are very encouraging. This world is a discouraging place for kids, for people, for godly people. It can be very discouraging. And with kids, we need to give them all the help and encouragement that we can give them. To a child who might be struggling in the awkwardness of adolescence, who feels like everyone looks like they're supposed to except him, I wonder how many have been encouraged with words like this. All this is from Scripture. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. There's so many things from the Word of God. Every single one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as a kid, that's so hard for them to understand. It's so hard for them to gather. I wish I could be my 16-year-old self with the knowledge that I have today. But as kids, kids are mean to each other. They beat up on each other. They pick on each other. But we have to encourage them. We have to lift them up. We have to be, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If mom isn't ready to encourage her kids about who they are in Christ or who they can be in Christ, there is a lost world out there ready to teach and encourage them about who they can be without Christ. It has to be our job as women, as mothers. We all have friends and family around us that have 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds. And we see them going through depression, going through struggles. Whatever it is, we can be there for them. We can encourage them. We can lift them up. Tell them they can do whatever they want to do. In Trey's Mother's Day card to Sonny this morning, it said, "Mom always says I can do whatever I put my mind to." And we have to encourage that. We have to push that. We have to uplift that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Those are women. Those are mothers. They're steadfast. They're unmovable. They're always abounding in the work of the Lord to encourage and to lift up. The last letter of mother is R, and I put she's resourceful. Godly mothers must be resourceful. They have to use every means available to do their job. I found a story about how ingenious moms are. What my mother taught me. My mother taught me about religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray the stain will come out of this carpet." My mother taught me logic from her decisive words. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is finished. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if your room, a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful mom like you do. Godly moms must be resourceful. They are swimming upstream in our society today. A godly mom has one goal for her children. She wants them to share her faith. She would do anything to make that happen. She would give her life to allow her kids to have the gospel, to understand, to follow Christ. That's found in 2 Timothy 2 with Timothy's life. If you go to 2 Timothy, you can see mothers and grandmothers, how they touched our lives. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. These grandmothers, these mothers have a challenge. It's their job to raise up these godly kids. The father has just as much responsibility. But I'm telling you, the kids look up to their mothers. Every single Sunday when we come to church, my four-year-old is, if I grab my Bible and Sonny's Bible, she says, I need a Bible. I need a Bible. And I want her carrying a Bible everywhere she goes. But that comes from us encouraging and uplifting. Moms have to be resourceful. It's a tough fight they fight. The world we live in makes a pretty strong push for their way of life. They make it sound so glamorous, so much fun. You aren't what you should be unless you drive this particular car or drink this alcoholic beverage or wear these particular clothes. And you don't dare go to church in the worldly view of life. We're too educated for that. We're too enlightened for that. And if a kid does want to live out their faith, they are made to feel stupid or second class. We have to encourage the Word of God. We have to uplift the Word of God. We have to put this and instill it in our kids. So number one, women, men, everybody needs to live a life of modesty. Don't tell them how they should live. Show them by your actions. Kids today are hard to fool. Someone telling them they should be doing this while they're doing the exact opposite isn't going to cut it. Live out your faith in front of your kids and do it modestly. Be observant. That's a resource mom can use. Know your kids' friends. Know what they are watching, listening to, or where they're spending their time. Be thankful. Being thankful refers to your prayer life. If you're struggling with something, begin to write things down that you're thankful for. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be honorable. Teach your kids that her faith is true by remaining honorable to her marriage. How about encouraging? When the world kicks your kid in the mouth, they can use all the encouragement they can get. And these are all resources mom can use to pass along her faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what mothers have done in our life, instilled the Word of God in our life. We just thank you for the wives that are raising children to be that light, to be that encouragement, to lift them up, to bless them, to put them surrounded by the Word of God. We just thank you for everybody that has put their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can be a thankful people, that we can be out there and we can share the gospel, that we can tell others about you, about what your Son did on the cross of Calvary. Once again, we just thank you for the mothers here today that have raised us into a godly people. And we thank you and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.